Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Zoe Miss Kelly.
I've snuck in.
From the Comics Channel, plugging the new stuff, so go and check that thing out. Also joined by Josh Brown.
Hiya.
I wanted a nice excuse to talk about all things Marvel, so I've gathered the best nerds in the office, at least from this side of the office. We're all pretty much massive geeks, so it's fine. Ultimate Alliance 3 is out, and I just kind of thought we would just run down the history of, like, all the different times that Marvel have sort of succeeded in video games, the different, the app era that the 2010s have kind of been, and whatever. So I kind of just want to open it up by asking you guys, what are your favorite Marvel superhero games, or what comes to mind when you think of good Marvel superhero games?
Wow.
Because I can open this up, right?
Scott,
I can open
go
this
on.
Up. I don't think this has been beaten. I'm going to hold this up as one of the finest, is the Spider-Man game from 2000, which is the one that was introduced by Stan Lee and had the aura of that game was the love letter to the Marvel fandom that I think a lot of the future games have tried to get close to. It's what Ultimate Alliance 3 tries to go for, but obviously doesn't have Stan Lee.
Yeah, that so was one of the game. First games in general I ever played. And that got me not only into games, but the Marvel Universe at large. Because I didn't really know who, I kind of knew who Spider-Man was, but this got me to like understand characters like Black Cat or even cameos by Beast and stuff.
Spider.
Who was in.
That's a perfect impersonation of Black Cat, I think you'll find. So,
but
I mean,
it was awesome. And like, it nailed Spider-Man. The look was good. I even liked Spider-Man 2 Enter Electro.
You were like the only person I know who ever played that.
Really?
So did you play that?
I'm pretty sure I played every Spider-Man.
Okay, fine. At least someone else like managed to chase that.
But I have some very mixed opinions on
yes,
them.
So exactly. It's
it had Hammerhead in it, so it was automatically good.
Did it?
Yes.
Didn't Child You lose your mind fighting the Lizard?
Listen, the Lizard was broken for one. I'm not saying it's one of the best superhero games,
right,
but it's pretty good.
So I would hold up the PS1 Spidey as one of mine. What do you guys, what comes to mind?
I think the blessing of comics is you get like doubly nostalgic when it's like comics and a video game. The first game I ever bought for myself was, did you ever play the old Game Boy Punisher game?
Hell yeah.
The Game Boy
that was your
version.
First one.
That's
brilliant.
That was my first one. And I remember feeling like really rebellious because it was the Punisher. And I was like, my parents wouldn't want me
They'll
to
never
play.
Know.
Which is funny because it's really not that violent.
It's extremely tame, like by today's standards or whatever.
But little me playing it like in nighttime on my Game Boy, I was like, this is the coolest thing that could have happened to me.
Speaking of the Punisher as well, the 2006 one, the one that was like kind of a movie tie-in, but the game had way more to it and had like still had Thomas Jane reprise the role or whatever. That was my like bad boy moment where I was like, my parents wouldn't approve of me curb stomping this person.
I've got a guy's head in a vice.
I know, I'm feed him to piranhas, mate. And it's that was my thing where I was like, I just love embodying that character. I think we can have a separate discussion on, well, we'll get there in terms of group-based games versus solo ones. What's your one, Josh?
Ultimate Spider-Man, I think, because although Spider-Man 2 did the open world sandbox swinging first and arguably best, like the physics-based system in that is much different from the Ultimate Spider-Man one. But for me, Ultimate Spidey is just my dude even before I even read any of the comics. I love that art style. I love that version of Spider-Man's universe. And I thought the story in that game was really good. It was the Venom storyline. But I'm pretty sure it might have even came out before the Venom storyline in the actual comics themselves. Because it's written by
the actual
writers.
Let's check the record,
Zoe. Yes, we'll see this.
I'm trying to think. What year was it?
I don't know.
Ultimate Spidey was like 2005?
Someone told me this fact the other day. I think it was... before then, to be honest. I think it
might
what do
you mean it was before the Venom storyline?
I think the Venom storyline in the game came before the Venom storyline in Ultimate Spider-Man, comics. Right, right. Like, that version of it. Yeah, not just generally. Yeah. Because
I was like, if it's Venom whatsoever,
I'm going to
break your heart.
No. That version of, like, that story. Uh-huh. So, like, you know, the Venom symbiote being kind of like a cure for cancer and built by Oscorp and stuff. But I just thought the story was great. I liked the swinging and that you could climb up it, like, to get height and stuff. I loved that you could go to Queens and Spidey's, like, living with Aunt May and stuff.
You could also eat children as Venom.
You could also eat children as
Good
Venom.
Time.
I recommend the adults, but still.
Yeah, and also you flick to being Venom, who could jump across goddamn buildings and eat people with balloons. And also just, like, throw people directly into the ground to cause a crater. It was like playing an Incredible Hulk game. What is the Venom?
So, awesome. I mean, in that regard, like, because I was going to say, like, Spidey seems to front load their best stuff. Do you think that was a conscious decision on their part, or it's just that he is the most bankable character, so they tend to revisit
I don't
him
know
more?
If this is controversial, but I have this pet theory that it's because that's the closest they could do to sort of the Batman gliding mechanics. Because although all of the older Batman games aren't great,
true.
Like, I think they were the most popular comic video game. Mm-hmm. So they were sort of like,
how far back are you going when you say old Batman stuff?
I'm talking the old one that looked like it was more based on the animated show. I'm not just doing the Arkham games.
No, that was like 2009. Yeah, the 2D side scrolling one that was on, like, SNES and Mega Drive and stuff. Yeah, kinda. I guess you want something where, like, you want to have, like, a good explorative element, something that has a good gameplay hook. So I guess Spidey has the most immediate one.
If you just did Thor, it'd be like, and then I flew to the object.
Yeah. It'd be really hard to make a decent Thor game without it. Like, most publishers would resort to, like, an endless runner or something, and you're flying as fast as possible.
Well, that's, like, away from just them being, like, the two most popular superheroes at the time. Like, Batman had his own movie series. Spider-Man was just about to get his. They were, like, bankable cross-media, like, icons. They were very much, you know, it was easy to cash in on them. But also, at the same time, they're very... not easy, but they're heroes that you can do well in video game form. Mm-hmm. They aren't too overpowered. They have human weaknesses. You can transfer their skills and abilities to, like, gameplay mechanics much easier than you can someone like Thor or Iron Man or, God forbid, Superman.
Do you think that's changed with the perception of the characters, just with the MCU being so established now? Like, are people just, do they have that body of knowledge already where you can just go, it's a new Thor game, and they might just check it out?
I think the blessing is, as well, because... the thing the MCU's done really well is establish that even the most powerful hero can be defeated by someone. So now it wouldn't just be like, because, yeah, like, the blessing of Spider-Man is that anyone can beat him up if they tried really hard. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Andy Murray constantly says he can beat him up.
He reckons he can take him, yeah. He thinks he can just, you know, just lay the man out.
No.
I think Spider-Man would let him.
Yeah? he's nice enough. Yeah, Miles Morales definitely would.
He'd pull his punches, you know.
Yeah. I think, talking about the 2000s as well, I've kind of referred to this as the golden age. I don't know how much that'll sort of stick, but I'll reel off some games. I already mentioned Spider-Man 2000, but we also had Shattered Dimensions. We had Edge of Time, which is a bit more, you know, not as good, but still, it's all right.
It's all right.
Then we had the Rise of the Imperfect game, which kind of showed them doing a bit of a Def Jam thing. But we had the X-Men Legends games, the Ultimate Alliance games, the Blade games, which I wrote down because I bought Blade 2 because I love Blade 2 so much.
See, I loved Blade and I didn't even bring myself to buy those.
The PS1 one was all right. And then the second one made you fight on the right analog stick, which is like, it was a cool way to make you fight like a whole room of goons. Mm. Stop scrunching your face, Josh. And it didn't play very well, but, you know, it was all right. He said things from the movie. I got to do a bit of that. And then Hulk Ultimate Destruction, which I think, like, that introduces the next topic, which I was going to ask. Like, do you guys think that they should do more character-specific games as opposed to the group ones? Because I think do we think the MCU showing, like, you know, all these different sort of combined movies like Civil War and Endgame and whatever points to this whole roster being given to you at once?
It's difficult because we've had team-up games in the past, but I think, like we were just talking about, with the beauty of the MCU is that everyone already has a certain base knowledge of these characters now, and you don't need to convince them to buy a Thor game or to buy a Daredevil game. I think even if you look before Deadpool was a big thing, when Activision made their Deadpool game, and no one really cared because that character, like, in the mainstream wasn't really, there was no real awareness for him. But now that Ryan Reynolds has made two blockbuster movies out of him, people would lap up a Deadpool game. And I think that's where we're at with the MCU as a whole. So I think it would make sense to capitalize on that and then really focus in on these single heroes themselves and properly explore them rather than just throwing them in as part of a team.
Yeah, I mean, with Deadpool as well, do you think they just mistimed that? Like, I've actually played the Deadpool game. I don't know if anyone has.
It's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I heard it's not, mixed to positive things.
It's not great, but you play it and you're like, this is, you know, it's a bit like the Mad Max game.
Mm-hmm. Great game. Zoe, it's a good game.
It's a good game.
It's a really good game.
Not the newest one.
The newest one.
The one before that.
The other Mad Max game?
There was an older one, I'm sure. Because there was the decent one that's kind of like Rage now.
Yes.
And then there was the one before that was kind of, I think it came out when Deadpool did, actually.
Interesting proposition. The one I'm thinking of is the one that came out on the same day as Metal Gear 5 Phantom Pain and just killed all of its sales. That's the one that everyone just forgets happened that is actually, like, surprisingly good.
I might be thinking, essentially, it's got good fights.
Right.
But then you sort of look at the plot and there's not a, there's not a whole lot to go around.
Because it had that like, kind of had that sort of same vibe as something like The Punisher, where it's like, it's kind of tied into the movie, but not. I know it predates the first movie, but they did do an HD re-release around about the time that the first game came out, but then it was still selling for, like, full price. So that sort of idea of, like, cashing in on that didn't really happen. But do you think they just kind of mistimed it? Because they had Northern North as well.
It was part of Activision's kind of, like, final hurrah of the Marvel Universe, essentially. When it released, it wasn't a budget title, but it was less than a full AAA title. Mm-hmm. And you could sort of tell that it was kind of rushed, kind of, you know, sloppy around the edges, and a lot of Activision's Marvel games were. Mm-hmm. So I just think it was just that sort of dying breed of, we don't really care, but we know that people like Marvel and superheroes, so we'll do it, we'll sell it a bit cheaper, we'll remaster it if a film gets made, you know, we'll try to cash in on it. I think that killed it more than anything else.
Right. Isn't the writing quite good in it? I think I've seen him slapping Wolverine.
Essentially, it looks like they made an okay game, then they looked at all the flaws. They were like, can the writers just address all the flaws? I think you just pretend it's like a fun fourth wall thing.
Right.
And it is. Only like the seventh or eighth time they're like, ha ha ha, ha, this isn't made well. You're like, is it?
Yeah, you could have actually made this better, like, as the core thing. I think as well for the early Marvel stuff, like, because I'm going to get onto, like, what's been happening since, like, 2010-ish to now. But when the MCU first started, like, kicking into gear, we got tie-in movies. Like, we got the Thor game, we got the Hulk game, the Iron Man game, which, like, for me, the Iron Man game is, like, one of the only, I've played all of them, but not very long, because they're not very good. But, like, one, I think they had some kind of cool-ish game mechanics. I like the idea that the Iron Man one, you reroute the power at different parts of his suit, and then you can do, like, the chest cannon or whatever. Did you guys play them, or have you seen those old games?
I have seen the first. No, I've seen Iron Man 2 actually,
right,
being played on a 360, and it didn't look good, Jim.
Do that a little bit?
No.
Shoot some.
I want to play Iron Man VR. I don't want to play
Iron
Man 2.
That's actually what I was about to say.
Oh, you don't want to play Iron Man VR. Do you, though? We'll get to what they're doing in the future in good time.
I didn't, though. But that did, like, sort of came around in the same crop as the Thor game, which I did play, and that was just so naff.
Yes.
So is it the same sort of, like, thing where it's just very much a cash-in?
Well, that's what it feels like. Okay. I mean, do you think that's the general perception, I think? Because I forgot those games even happened. I forgot that they had tie-ins for each movie. I don't know if you guys, like, if they come to mind when you think of, like, Marvel's games, I think of everything else.
Really?
Pretty much.
Well, because they threw so much stuff out, especially Activision in the 2000s golden era. Some of it was good, and a lot of it was just kind of that fluff. But it's kind of a weird paradox, because they had great developers working on these games, just obviously within a very, very limited time frame and with a very limited budget. You had people like Treyarch doing the Spider-Man games and doing Web of Shadows and stuff, which is a great game, but it wears its kind of production, I don't know, limitations on its sleeve.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue more than anything else. Like, Activision was giving these properties to genuinely good, passionate developers, but then hamstringing them by making them be tied into a movie or by making them come out on a yearly basis. And I think that damaged it. And that's why some gems slipped through the cracks, like Shattered Dimensions, and some didn't, like Thor, right?
I was going to say, like, the movie tie-in ones, like, I think if we'd had, like, Kotaku were obviously still around, but if Jason Schreier was doing his deep dive stuff that he tends to do a lot of these days, you would get, like, a whole warts and all reality check for what those production schedules were like, because they really feel, looking at the end product, like they were crunched and kicked to fit.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was the last of Marvel's deal with Activision, just, I want to know what happened to that game. Because Beenox made some good Spider-Man games, and I thought the original tie-in to the first Ultimate Spider-Man game, Amazing Spider-Man game, was actually decent. It wasn't perfect, but it was okay. It was nowhere near the level that The Amazing Spider-Man 2 was, which was just a travesty, and somehow, despite releasing on next-gen consoles, looked worse than the 360 version.
Zoe, did you play The Amazing Spider-Man?
Did
you have the pleasure?
Me.
What did you think of the... Because their whole thing... we can quickly talk about, like, the limitations of Spidey, like, to some degree. Because something like The Amazing Spider-Man, and their whole new thing was, like, the camera's closer to him and you'll feel the rush of when you fall down into the street. And then they had that thing where you could freeze time, look around, and choose where you want to zip to. For me, that wasn't enough. Did that seem to... that do anything for you as a Spider-Man fan?
It's weird, right? Because when we were talking about cash-ins, I think Marvel versus Capcom, I actually liked, even though it was justifiably a huge cash-in. But then you get these other games, and it's like, you can tell that they really tried to make the mechanics of a superhero work, but there's just something...
didn't have the time.
Something got in the way. Yeah, that, or they were halfway through developing it, and they were like, great, that's it.
Yeah, it's like, but at some point, like that's what makes me think that at some point they would have just capped it and just said, this needs to ship by this time. We're not budging. Like, you'll get that with like EA or whatever. It's like, we're not moving our marketing budget. We have all these different posters ready to go.
Yeah.
And we can't possibly give you any more time.
Well, I think you see that with especially the Beanox Spider-Man games. You get Shattered Dimensions, which is a very polished, very high concept game with four different Spider-Men, four different combat mechanics. It's a very robust, ambitious game. But then after that, no matter how well it sells or how critics receive it, Activision go, the publisher. I'm absolutely, you know, hating on Activision today, but you know, they just released the most superhero games, so it's inevitable. But then they say, give us Edge of Time in a year. So that initially hampers the ambition for the next game. And then it's, oh, now you're doing a tie-in. So you've got that to come out next year. So scrap all of the linear stuff you've done. You've got to do an open world game. It's got to be this plot. It's got to introduce these characters. It's got to have these specific game mechanics. And it's kind of like, whatever potential Shattered Dimensions could have potentially kicked off is then just hampered by this decision to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, and like Shattered Dimensions, like we've all played that, I think. Or we've seen it.
Zoe, it's so good.
Really good. See,
I've only not played the good one.
No, this totally exemplifies my point though, because like Shattered Dimensions, I don't know if I'd call it a gem, but it's pretty solid. Like, but it's.
I would, maybe I'd
call it a gem, an infinity gem. But that whole thing is like, it seems like it gets like swept under the rug because the fact that it kind of gets hampered alongside Edge of Time. Retrospectively, but like that game is quite ambitious in terms of like, yeah, it has four different Spider-Man, you have these like stealth sections, you have this over-the-top symbiote stuff where you're like doing all this group combat, and like, but then that points to like, you know, they have this kind of high point in, I don't know, innovation or mechanics or whatever, that when you compare it for me to the PS4 Spider-Man, they went back to what they had beforehand, which like was the Spider-Man 2 tie-in game. Like, it's very much trying to be that game again. So I'm like, as the limitations of the character, like as a solo character, has Spider-Man, what else can we even do with Spider-Man?
Oh, I don't know, because I don't know if I agree. I think Spider-Man PS4 took a lot of the elements that worked in those earlier games, especially Spider-Man 2, and I guess even in a way Web of Shadows, but I do think it sort of innovates. I do agree that you can kind of see the limitations of the character, but maybe that's just because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's what players have had before, so then maybe Insomniac just think, well, we've got to do that, but make it really good rather than break from any established mold, because even though like those earlier Spider-Man games weren't always great, people still, by and large, enjoy them. People talk about Spider-Man 2, like, still
that's
now.
That's, like, regarded as like the holy grail of, like, the best thing we've ever done as a species or something.
Yeah,
like,
which is... There is a reverence for those games, and I think that does sort of create limitations when you're making a Spider-Man game in 2019, that you have tens games worth of baggage or whatever to live up to, and then the nostalgia of people expecting certain mechanics. So I think that, as much as that informs the limitations of the character, if that makes sense.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So the same thing for you, though, like in terms of what they've gone for before?
I think it's generally, like, my issue is more plot-based. Like, I think the real issue with a lot of tie-in movie games is the people who buy it are generally the people who like the movie. I think there's always something kind of rough when you're like, I really want to play this game, but I know the whole plot.
Yeah, that's very true. I think that's one of the things that seems to have, like, killed off the idea of tie-in stuff overall. It's just that, yeah, like, what are you really buying it for? Like, unless you can cash in on literally someone coming out of a cinema and going, I really want to play that thing I've just watched. Like, if they can't hit that, it almost never works.
And I think we've got other games that have plugged that gap much better at higher quality games, like the Lego titles. When The Force Awakens came out,
I bloody love the Lego
exactly.
games.
Exactly. I came straight out The Force Awakens and thought, I need more of this.
Yeah.
And at the minute, sadly, Battlefront.
And then they delayed it for half a year.
And then, yeah.
We finally got there. Little Lego Kylo Ren was worth the wait, but they took their sweet time.
It's annoying, complete tangent, but it's the same thing this year. I'm looking forward to Rise of Skywalker, and I want to immediately play the entire Lego collection that's coming out. That's not coming out until next year.
Yeah.
My initial hype will have worn off by then.
I think, like, because we come from an era where we nigh on had a tie-in game for every game, for every movie, whereas like from a Bug's Life to, I don't know, I thought of a Bug's Life. I thought of before I thought it's
Bug's Life is such a good game.
Ants is better than a Bug's Life in game form and movie form. Yes, it is.
I don't know if I ever played the game of Ants, you know.
Really? Maybe I'm imagining a game of Ants. There was definitely there was an Ants movie.
There was an Ants movie.
Which is very good. My point is that was better than a Bug's Life. But yes, the Bug's Life game was very good. Point being that, everything seemed to have a tie-in back then. And in terms of Star Wars and stuff and the ongoing MCU, for the high points of both those franchises in the modern age, they haven't had stuff alongside it. Mm. Like, we've had these, like, the tie-in games that we had at the end of the 2000s. Marvel just sat out the entirety of the MCU for the last like 8 years.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to start counting app stuff.
What? That's where you get into weird territory, because that does, they are more blatantly cash-ins than anything else. They are, you can play this right now for free, and then we'll nickel and dime you with microtransactions for the next year.
I guess my overall point, though, is like, would we be okay with slightly more, I guess you wouldn't be okay with the quality of the games that we got at the end of the 2000s, but is there still some worth in having something ready to go alongside each new movie?
No, because of what we just said about missing games like Shattered Dimensions or stuff like that. I think when you just throw out such a wealth of content and you just saturate the market with all these games, we've seen some of them, even if you give them more time, some of them are going to be bad and people are just going to get fatigued or fed up. Like, the reason I didn't buy Shattered Dimensions at launch and Web of Shadows is because I was just done. I've been burnt so many times
before.
Web
of Shadows is so good.
Web of Shadows is so good. I didn't realize until much, much later. I think people just get done. You've seen the same thing over and over again. And considering the rate that these movies come out now, we get at least three MCU movies a year. That's a lot of games to come out alongside them, and I don't know if we can sustain that either from a dev side or from a interest side.
I think as the industry's got bigger and like general production budgets have just got so much bigger, and they need more time to just even refine like a leaf in the distance. It just doesn't match up with, like they said, the schedule of Hollywood anymore. And we can talk about the apps and stuff, though, because that's the thing that's, I'm referring to this as the app era, where I've only picked a handful because there's so many Marvel apps. There's like one every week, and they're nigh on the same thing. So you were saying that you play these quite a bit, or you have played them in the past.
It was a dark
I've got out of there, got out.
Because I did that, and I did the DC ones.
Ooh.
And then like a couple months in, I sort of looked in my life and I was like, what?
Tapping your daily goals.
Why am I like spending an hour just tapping my phone screen?
Well, the thing is, like we talked before, we said about like, you know, you come out of a movie and you just want to play that movie. Coming out of Endgame, I was like, I just want to play something Marvel. And like, obviously Spidey scratches that itch, but like I ended up getting lost in a real dark time, like you said, of mobile games. So it was like Contest of Champions, Future Fight, Strike Force, and then even trying to get Marvel Heroes, the browser-based game. I'm assuming you've played all of these things.
I did not play the browser-based game.
You're missing out. You're not missing out at all on anything.
I'm hijacking this podcast. It's now an intervention for you. We need your help, you man.
Well, I've given them up, but I mean, my point is that I think when Marvel tried all these things, these tie-in games, I wonder if on their part they were like, it just isn't worth it. We're not making the return back. We're paying these devs like more than the sales of the game. Obviously, they're mediocre games and their like window of success is literally pretty much almost the first week that movie's out. They seem to then take a massive step back across the 2010s, and we got all these different apps and stuff, which like I've played a handful of. Zoe, you've done some, but regretfully so. Josh, you've not played any of them?
None.
So that speaks volumes that like none of us, like we've never really covered any Marvel games because apps because they're just not really worth it. Which brings me to the modern stuff, which like, you know, you look at Spider-Man PS4, Ultimate Alliance 3, the upcoming Avengers thing, and Josh's favorite game, Iron Man VR. Or Josh and Zoe's favorite game.
Now I'm gonna partner in crime now.
But I think that kind of all comes full circle because they don't care about the tie-in stuff anymore. Like Ultimate Alliance 3 is coming out, like how long has it been since Endgame? 2 months?
2 months, 3 months.
Yeah. But you still, Ultimate Alliance 3 still has like little plot points and things lifted from like, you know, MCU ephemera from the last year or so. But do you think that's just as effective or more effective?
I think so, potentially. It's hard to gauge. It's certainly not in the direct window, but at the same time, my affection for the Infinity War storyline, the two-part storyline, is still quite fresh. Right. Fresh enough for me to want to jump in with these heroes. The heroes themselves, I think, are probably more important than the actual story, because they're now current. Like, if you sell a game on the back of the original Avengers or Captain Marvel front and center, like, that will sell, because that's still going to be current, because those characters are still going to get movies, they're still going to be around. I do think you miss the initial launch window, but at the same time, I went from Far From Home straight back into Insomniac Spider-Man, straight into Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, and had bloody good time.
On the Spider-Man front, they kind of supplant that audience, because they're like, by the way, we've got this new costume. So it's like, if you kind of have those things established, you can kind of keep up with the MCU, or kind of keep up with different media events happening, like with little subtle things like that. Zoe, what do you think in terms of the switch to having more isolated games?
Well, it sort of reminded me, me and Ewan had a conversation about this, like, I think sometime this week, actually, on the comics channel.
Plug.
Check out the comics channel. It is brand... No, it's not brand new, but it's been revitalized with Zoe.
And basically, a lot of the issue with Marvel Comics right now is that they just can't match the sort of budget that the MCU has, which, as you can imagine, creates some sort of interesting problems. And I'd never thought about it, but I presume Marvel games have the exact same problem.
How do you mean, like, in terms of, like, set pieces and stuff? It's just not...
Just in terms of, like, they physically... So the MCU will have all this, like, ridiculous money to do essentially whatever they want, as long as they know that they'll get the audience. Whereas with comics, they don't have the same kind of, unless a comic will get big reaction, they don't have the same room for playing sometimes.
I guess you can bring in, like, star power and stuff too. Like, one of the initial reactions to the Square Enix's Avengers was like, oh, it's not Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, etc. Whereas, I don't know if it was just, I just didn't expect that at all. I don't know if most fans just did. I don't think, did you guys think that? Like, where's the people I'm associated with?
You know what? Weirdly enough, I didn't expect the voice talent, obviously. Because, I mean, imagine paying the money for Robert Downey Jr. to come into a voice booth and do a lines for
the day. I'll take Troy Baker and Nolan North over literally anyone.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Me too. They're really good. I did, funnily enough, for whatever reason, expect the character models to look a bit more
apparently
similar.
They've changed Black Widow.
She looks
really
good now.
She looked that bad before. But, like, apparently now she's like, apparently they've done that. They've gone back to Cap and gone back to Black Widow, because apparently they had, like, backlash.
Yeah.
So yeah, apparently they've been changed.
Even then though, they still don't look like the MCU counterparts. It doesn't look like Chris Evans, sorry. Almost. I was going to say Chris Pratt.
Man,
like,
with
no,
shield.
No, that's the wrong one. It doesn't look like the MCU counterparts. And I think that's better in the long run if you can establish these distinct universes, like Insomniac did with Spider-Man or Rocksteady did with Batman, that people gravitate to, that doesn't need a film or a cross-media promotion to sell.
I was going to say, like, going back to what you said about, like, you know, like, that whole thing about them kind of needing to be separate, like, to survive on their own. Like, yeah, maybe it is just time for, like, it is time for Marvel to really take hold of it. Like, they've kind of been teasing the idea of, like, an MGU, like, this sort of gaming universe. They talked about Spidey being, like, you know, if this goes well and the Avengers comes after it, and Spider-Man references the Avengers in-game and stuff. And it's just, like, I like them being separate things. Like, Ultimate Alliance 3 kind of walks a line. It's like, you've got the comic book designs with some of the voice work that is clearly people trying to be those characters from the MCU, which works well enough. But I think, like, I don't know, like, going forward, do you think it's just they just need to stay away, let the MCU do its thing, and they'll do their own thing, and the comics does its own thing too?
I think it would always be a bad business move to leave money on the table and not have some references or homages to what's currently happening in the movie universe. But at the same time, I do think you need to create your own stamp on these characters and these worlds and these stories to, you know, like, promote your own series as an individual thing, separate. But at the same, like I said, I mean, it makes sense for there to be an Ultimate Alliance game that's around the, like, surrounding the Infinity Stones, but doesn't have the same plot as of Infinity War and Endgame. But there's a kind of a correlation there where doesn't sacrifice the vision of the game so much, because that's still its own unique story, just told with some of the same tools.
Are you saying say the same thing, Zoe?
I think, like, yeah, it's a matter of inspiration, but not theft. Because, like, obviously the issue, especially with having, say, like, Tony Stark so distinctively as Robert Downey Jr., is that, I don't want to make anyone sad, but eventually he won't be Iron Man.
What?
Like, for whatever reason.
But he said he was.
What do you mean? Well, I mean, he'll always be Iron Man, but he won't be Iron Man anymore. And I think at that point, like, it would probably be a real bad move for games to then be like, oh, we need to not have him look like,
because I guess at that point you would either make a really clean break and do I forget the lady's name who became the other Iron Man, the woman who became the other Iron Man with the big frizzy hair.
Oh, I've let you down.
It's I can't say her name very well. It's the person who isn't Tony Stark. Oh, it doesn't matter. You'll be screaming at the screen. It's whoever that person is. But yeah, if you're going to make a clean break, then do something like that. What's her name?
I love the way you left that up. It's the person who isn't Tony Stark. Thank you, Scott.
Wait, there's only been
the rest of the universe.
There's only one other recent Iron Man. She's got a really like cool name, but it's really hard to say.
Let's move on. None of us are going to figure this out. I don't even know. I didn't even know there was an
answer
right
in the comments. Start shouting at us on social media.
I trust you, Zoe.
Yes. But yeah, I guess they would do like a whole clean break thing. Because speaking of Downey Jr., didn't they start drawing him more, the Iron Man in the comics started to draw him more like Downey
Jr.?
So
this is a really, it's not an issue, but I think it's a really weird decision. Mm. Like, say the Guardians of the Galaxy changed not only quite a lot what they look like, but also the tone, yes, really heavy, mm-hmm, when they were clearly like, oh, people like this tone, mm-hmm, for Marvel like stuff.
That's what they have in Ultimate Alliance 3. Yeah. Like, yeah. It feels like the movie version, which is really different
which
to how they were.
I think works in a lot of ways, but then also, like I said, because I think there's a sort of, unless you play on the nostalgia, there's a time limit to, mm-hmm, it, mm-hmm, which can be kind of dangerous in how well you want it to continue.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, how much does, for the Guardians, like how much does the Guardians identity become the James Gunn kind of, yeah, version, yeah, versus maybe what they were initially?
Well, so I think you can see in the roster of not only Ultimate Alliance 3, but the latest Marvel vs. Capcom game, that although they aren't the MCU counterparts in video game form, mm-hmm, it is very much dictated by who is popular in the MCU now and what their personalities are like. Like, Ultimate Alliance 3 opens up on the Guardians, and it's very much James Gunn's Guardians, even though the designs are different, mm-hmm, and there are no Fantastic Four. They're coming in DLC, but yeah, presumably that's because Marvel didn't initially hold the rights. It was the same with Marvel versus, like I said, Marvel versus Capcom, where, mm-hmm, it was very much a focus on characters Marvel owned in the movie universe, rather than the ones they didn't really care about. In like, is it the same with comics, Zoe? When like, if they don't own the Fantastic Four, they will take like a backseat in the comics or something like that.
Well, the blessing is generally if they're doing comics about someone, they tend to own the rights to the person.
Yes, I mean,
but yeah,
promotion.
You'll tend, mm-hmm, to find like this sort of weird. You can clearly tell periods of time where they've been trying to get a character more popular for like its film release, mm-hmm, which is smart.
Yeah,
like, I think it works well. But then at the same time, it can mess with sort of like when you liked a previous sort of edition, to be like, and here's the film edition. You're like, I could watch the film if I wanted this.
Yeah, and plus like perceptually, like if they chase that, then it's like, well, we actually need this thing to stand on its own because this movie run has ended or whatever. And then they don't necessarily have the audience for it anymore because they were kind of only tied in because they came in from the MCU. Do you guys like it overall, pretty much like rounded up thoughts? Do you like where Marvel is at now? Because they seem to have been really taking their time and now they're rolling stuff out again.
I like where Spider-Man is at.
Right.
The Avengers, I'm cautiously optimistic for. I want to play it. I want to see how that properly, you know, how the gameplay is, how the story is, how they're going to tackle the live service elements. I think the ideas now are much better than what Activision was doing in the 2000s and just saturating the market with good, bad, horrible games. It does feel like even if they're not always going to be home runs, they at least care about the characters and the properties now,
yeah,
which is a huge, huge plus for me.
I think for me, it stands out how mistimed it is. I guess that I get that something like the Avengers is a massive project. And I think we first heard about that 2 years ago. It was a while.
2017, yeah, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but like obviously they would have had certain plans in place, certain story beats in place that they were going to do in terms of Endgame and stuff. So for me, I don't want to return to the crunch deadlines of the late 2000s, but I would have liked something to be there ready after Endgame. I think that was your biggest window of opportunity.
Yeah.
Although I wonder if that would have backfired if you then came out of Endgame and the version of the game that you're buying has a completely different cast and story. I don't know, but that for me, they're still kind of coasting on that, on, mm-hmm, some of it anyway. So for me, I think a bit of it is mistimed, but I still like that something like Spidey is just exemplary anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm liking Ultimate Alliance-ish.
I wanted to kick off some good competition because, mm-hmm, I love the Rocksteady Batman games, even Arkham Knight, and I want to see them sort of WB as a whole kick up their DC universe.
Get the DC stuff going again.
You and I talk about this all the time about how they've kind of like dropped the ball on that. There hasn't been a game from either WB Montreal or Rocksteady in four years now.
Arkham Knight was 2015.
And it's not, you don't just need Batman. There is so much scope in that universe to deliver Justice League games, mm-hmm, or Superman games or Suicide Squad games, mm-hmm, and none of them have materialized. And now Marvel have kind of picked up the baton and being like, we're going to run with this. He's your Avengers. He's your Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's your Guardians of the Galaxy game in development. Oh, do you want Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3? Here you go.
Have
it's
every single thing.
Yeah.
App. Zoe, do you think the same thing? I was going to say they've got so many apps. Yes. Help me, app. You're my only hope.
But yeah. Siri.
Knowledge base. Anyway,
yes. Create a new video game, Siri. Well, I think the really smart move that they've started doing is they've started making it a lot more lore-based, like, within the comics. Because there's a thin line. Obviously, you don't want the whole game to be like, Have you read Spider-Man?
Mm-hmm.
This will be Spider-Man. But I think they managed, like, both Batman and Spider-Man balanced this line of, like, here's a bunch of really cool references about some really obscure stuff that, like, the hardcore fans will be interested in. But mm-hmm. also, if you just want to punch a dude who happens to look like mm-hmm. a Batman villain.
Well, so whoever was in that board meeting and said, why don't we just punch a dude, is entirely who's led Ultimate Alliance 3, which is, like, going to scratch all those itches kind of thing. But, I think they're in a really interesting place. I like to see the big budget stuff like Spidey and the Avengers. But it's nice having the crowd pleasing stuff like Ultimate Alliance 3 as well. But you go too far down that route and you end up with all the apps again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, which is the point I was trying to get to. I was referring to you as an app. But still, I think they're in an interesting place. But you guys can let us know what you think down in the comments if you're watching the video version, or come find us on social media if you're not. For now though, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Zoe Miss Kelly.
Still Zoe.
And Josh Brown.
App.
And we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.